This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Michael Orthodox Church in Louisville, Kentucky. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures and to day 156 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis, and today is June 5. In yesterday's reading, we heard of the death of Ahab, king of Israel, and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Today we will continue through the accounts of the following kings, primarily from Judah. Let's begin. 2 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 through chapter 24, verse 14. Jehoshaphat rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Jehoram, his son, reigned in his place. He had 6 brothers: Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azariahu, Michael, and Shephatiah. All were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Their father gave them many gifts of silver and gold, together with weapons and fortified cities in Judah. But he gave the kingdom to Jehoram, since he was the firstborn. Now when Jehoram was established over his father's kingdom, he strengthened himself and killed all his brothers, as well as others of Israel. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and ruled for 8 years in Jerusalem. He walked in the way of the kings of Israel, as the house of Ahab had done. For Ahab's daughter was his wife, and he did evil before the Lord. Yet the Lord did not wish to destroy the house of David because of the covenant he had made with David, because he had promised to give a lamp to him and to his sons forever. In those days the Edomites revolted against Judah and set a king over themselves. So Jehoram went out with his officers and all his cavalry. He rose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him, and the captains of the chariots, and the people fled to their tents. Thus Edom remained in opposition to Judah's authority to this day. At that time Libna revolted against the rule of Jehoram, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the cities of Judah, and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit harlotry, and led Judah astray. And a letter came to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, "Thus says the Lord God of your father David, because you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat your father, or in the ways of Asa the king of Judah, but walked in the way of the kings of Israel, because you caused Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to play the harlot, like the harlotry of the house of Ahab, and because you have killed your brothers, those of your father's household who were better than yourself, behold, the Lord will strike your people with a great affliction, your sons, your wives, and all your possessions, and you will become day by day very sick with the disease of your belly, until your belly comes out because of the sickness." Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of both the foreigners and the neighbors of the Arabs near the Ethiopians. And they came up to Judah and invaded it. They carried away all the possessions from the king's house, as well as his sons and daughters. So he had no son left except Jehoahaz, the youngest of his sons. After all this, the Lord struck him in the belly with an incurable disease. And in the course of time, at the end of 2 days, his belly came out with the disease, and he died in severe pain. His people made no funeral for him like the funeral for his fathers. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 8 years. He departed without praise, and he was buried in the city of David, but not in the tombs of the kings. And in his place, the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah the youngest son, king, for the raiders who came into the camp with the Arabians and the Elamazones killed all the other sons. So Ahaziah the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, was made king. Ahaziah was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor in sinning. He did evil in the sight of the Lord similarly to the house of Ahab, for after the death of his father, they were his counselors to his destruction. He followed their advice and went with Jehoram the son of Ahab, king of Israel, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead, whose archers wounded Joram. Joram returned to Jezreel to recover from his wounds the Syrians inflicted in Ramah when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Azariah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Jehoram, the son of Ahab, in Jezreel because he was sick. His going to Jehoram was God's opportunity for Ahaziah's downfall. For when he arrived, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. And when Jehu was executing judgment on the house of Ahab, he found both the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brother who served Ahaziah and killed them. Jehu gave orders to search for Ahaziah in Samaria, where he was recuperating, and they brought him to Jehu. After they killed him, they buried him, because they said, "He is the son of Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart." Thus there was no one in the house of Ahaziah to assume power over the kingdom. Now when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal heirs of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, the king's daughter, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him away from among the king's sons being murdered, and she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so she did not kill him. He remained hidden with them in the house of God for 6 years, while Athaliah reigned over the land. In the 7th year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jehoram, Ishmael the son of Jehohanan, Azariah the son of Obed, Maaseiah the son of Adaiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zichri with him into the house. They went throughout Judah and gathered the Levites from all the cities of Judah and the leaders of the families of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. Then all the assembly of Judah made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he showed them the king's son and said to them, "Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord said of the house of David. This is what you shall do. 1/3 of the priests and the Levites who enter on the Sabbath shall keep watch over the entrance gates. 1/3 shall be at the king's house, and 1/3 shall be at the middle gate. All the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord, but let no one come into the house of the Lord except the priests and those Levites who serve. They may go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep watch for the Lord. And the Levites shall surround the king on all sides, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whoever comes into the house will be put to death. They will be with the king when he comes in and when he goes out." So the Levites and all Judah did everything Jehoiada the priest commanded, and each man took his men who were to be on duty on the Sabbath, along with those who were going off duty on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest did not dismiss the divisions, and he gave them the swords and shields and weapons which had belonged to King David that were in the house of God. Then he stationed all the people, every man with his weapon in his hands, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, and next to the altar, and by the temple, and all around the king. And they brought out the king's son, put the crown on him, gave him the testimony, and made him king. Then Jehoiada and his sons made him king, and anointed him, and said, "Long live the king!" Now, when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and giving thanks and praising the king, she came to the king in the house of the Lord. When she looked, there was the king standing by his pillar at the entrance, with the leaders and the trumpeters around the king. All the people of the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets, along with the singers and their musical instruments, and those who led in praise. So Athaliah tore her clothes and said, "Treason! Treason!" Jehoiada the priest went out and commanded the captains of hundreds who were set over the army and said to them, "Take her out of the house and slay whoever follows her with the sword." For the priest said, "Do not kill her in the house of the Lord." So they seized her, and she went into the king's house by the entrance of the horse gate, and they killed her. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself, the people, and the king, that they should be the Lord's people. And all the people went to the house of Baal and tore it down. They broke its altars and idols in pieces, and killed Matan the priest of Baal before the altars. Also Jehoiada the priest strengthened the works of the house of the Lord in the hand of the priests and the Levites, whom David had assigned in the house of the Lord, to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and singing, as it was established by David. And the gatekeepers stood at the gates of the house of the Lord, so no one unclean should possibly enter. Then he took the leaders of the families, the mighty men, the governors of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought the king into the house of the Lord. Going through the inner gate to the king's house, they set the king on the throne of the kingdom. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had slain Athaliah with the sword. Joash was 7 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Joash did what was right in the sight of the Lord for all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took 2 wives and begot sons and daughters. After this, Joash set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. So he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, "Go out to the cities of Judah and gather money from all Israel to repair the house of your God from year to year. See that you do it quickly." However, the Levites did not do it quickly. So the king called Jehoiada the chief priest and said to him, "Why did you not require the Levites to bring in the collection from Judah and Jerusalem, according to the commandment of Moses, the man of God, when he assembled Israel at the tabernacle of witness? For Athaliah, a wicked woman, and her sons broke into the house of God and gave all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord to the Baals. Then at the king's command, they made a chest and set it outside at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to bring to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, imposed on Israel in the desert. And all the leaders and all the people gave and brought their contributions. They put them into the chest until it was full. So at that time, when the chest was brought to the king's official by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw there was a lot of money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and returned it to its place. They did this every day and gathered a great deal of money. The king and Jehoiada gave it to those who did the work of the service of the house of the Lord. They hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and iron and bronze workers to restore the house of the Lord. So the workmen labored, and by their hand the amount of work being completed increased. They restored the house of God to its original condition and reinforced it. When they finished, they brought the rest of the money to the king and Jehoiada. With this they made articles for the house of the Lord, articles for serving and the whole burnt offerings, and censers of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord without interruption all the days of Jehoiada. Psalm 119. To the Lord in my affliction I cried out, and he heard me. O Lord, deliver my soul from unjust lips and from a deceitful tongue. What should be given you, and what added to you against a deceitful tongue? The arrows of the Mighty One are sharpened with hot coals from the desert. Woe is me! My sojourning was prolonged. I dwelt with the tents of Kedar. My soul sojourned a long time as a resident alien. With those who hate peace, I was peaceful. When I spoke to them, they made war against me without cause. Psalm 120. I lifted my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Let not your foot be moved, neither let him who keeps you slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord shall keep you. The Lord is your shelter at your right hand. The sun shall not burn you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall keep you from all evil. The Lord shall keep your soul. The Lord shall keep your coming in and your going out, from this present time and unto the ages. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 13 through 18. If a haughty man passes by, take away his garment, for he lays waste the goods of another. Whoever blesses a friend early in the morning with a loud voice, he will not seem different from one who curses him. Continual dripping on a rainy day drives a man from his house. In like manner, a contentious woman also drives a man from his own house. The north wind is a harsh wind, and a prosperous man is called harsh. Iron sharpens iron, and a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Whoever plants a fig tree will eat its fruit, and whoever guards his own master will be honored. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The word way here means the path or the road. He is the path that our life is supposed to take. And therefore, the church is that path as well. Our faith is not simply a set of beliefs or morals to follow. It is more than a religion. It is a way of life. It is a way of perceiving the world and then living based on that perception. When we recognize Christ as the way and desire to follow him on the path that he has laid out for us, it will naturally be different than not knowing that he is the way. This recognition may occur when we're young, having been raised in a manner that supports this notion, or it may begin later, when we discover the way. Elder Emilianos asks and answers this question. When is it then that a soul says, I must live a Christian life, I must live differently? When it acquires the sense that it is a soul in exile, when it realizes that it is something that has been cast away and now exists outside of its proper place, outside of paradise, in a foreign land, beyond the borders within which it was made to dwell. He then continues, the spiritual life, you see, begins with a kind of vision, with a feeling of banishment, and this is not arrived at by means of any intellectual analysis or evaluation. I simply feel within myself the presence of a wall, a barrier, and I don't know what's beyond it. But if the soul doesn't have this feeling, it can't even begin to embark upon a spiritual life. It may live a Christian life, but only in a manner of speaking, only in appearance, only on an intellectual level, only within the limits of its own conceptions. So Elder Emiliano says that it's possible to be a Christian, but not to be following the way. He says that it is Christianity in appearance, an intellectual Christianity, but it's not Christianity as a way of life. When we recognize Jesus not only as the Messiah, but as the way, we realize that our life outside the path is somehow wrong, going in the wrong direction. It may be the path that many people are on, but it's not going to the destination we were created for. So to be truly an Orthodox Christian is to strive to intentionally live a particular way of life. It is not business as usual with a little faith added. It is a way of living that is marked by love, compassion, worship, and an awareness that Christ is walking with you at all times. It is also marked by reflection and repentance and return, returning back to the path, the way, whenever we stray. Christ is risen. We will be back on the path together through the scriptures tomorrow. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You have been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. For more information about the ministries of St. Michael Orthodox Church, please visit OrthodoxKY.com. That's OrthodoxKY.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.